All right, let's get started this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 34 is going to be our main passage. And so, Trevor, if you'll read that for us. 1 Samuel 20, 34 here in a moment. Luke 2, 52. Will Shear, if you'll get that for us. Luke 2, 52. Psalms 85 and verse 10. Kenny Rosas, if you'll get that. Then 2 Samuel 1, 26. Sean, if you'll get that for us. 2 Samuel 1, 26. I remember as a disciple, and I've shared this quote many times before, but it was so impactful as a disciple when Pastor Greg said it. Is the three keys to revival. And I remember he taught a lesson, a serious man lesson about this, and had repeated it around that time a number of times in other discipleship questions. It would come up and so forth. And it just stuck with me. The three keys to revival is faith, dominion, and people skills. Each one of those contributing to the fruitfulness of a minister, the fruitfulness of a couple, the fruitfulness of a congregation. It is absolutely tied to that. And this simple statement, but also this simple lesson, it formed a ministry approach early on that very much helped me to stay focused to the Great Commission, but it also, it helped me earn incredible favor with people as I began to apply this. And it set a course for ministry. But over time, fast forward years later, I have come to recognize the absolute genius of this statement. It is if you can lay hold of this, gentlemen, if it can go from your head to your heart, if it can just take root in you. God, help me understand this. Give me wisdom in this. It will revolutionize your life, your work and your business, your marriage, your parenting, your follow-up, your fruitfulness, your witnessing, all of these encompassed faith, dominion, and people skills. So with that, in this passage that we're going to look at, we see this very idea at work. We see it in Jonathan. He had a fight for the things of God, but he also had that tenderness in relationship. And we need to have this at work in us. We see the heart of a warrior and the heart of a friend. And as a shepherds of God, we need hearts that will fight for certain things, that will stand for certain things, but we also need hearts at the same time of compassion. This is this tension at work. So let's look at 1 Samuel 20 and verse 34.
So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully.
Okay, Jonathan, fierce anger and grief. Heart of a warrior, the heart of a friend. Okay, so let's talk first. Let's think about ministry hats. Pastor Greg said one morning in discipleship, anything you want to be in life, be a pastor, because you will do it all. And that statement is so true. There are many hats that a minister in our fellowship wears. As a pastor, you are a preacher. As a pastor, you are a counselor. But you are also an accountant, a lease reviewer, a building project manager, a custodian. As a pastor, you are a wedding planner, a wedding officiator. You are a family counselor. Sometimes you are a detective. Sometimes you are good cop. Other times you are bad cop. Other times you are a negotiator. Right? This is all at work. As a pastor, you will be a carpenter. You will be a plumber. You will be an electrician. You will be a masonry worker. You will learn so much about roofing. You will be a mechanic. You will be a landscaper. As a pastor, you are also a husband, a father. Sometimes you are a grief counselor. You are a motivational speaker. At times, a life coach. You are a friend. You are a reference point. You are an example. You are a discipler. You are a teacher. You are a scholar. These are the hats of ministry, and we can go on and on if you look at the different ministries of different men and where they've been and things and of circumstances and situations that they have had to navigate. Anything you want to be in life, be a pastor. So in our passage, we see Jonathan, he is expressing two contrasting responses to the same circumstance. The situation itself is one situation, but there's these two approaches, responses that we see. Verse 34, Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. In fierce anger. He's upset. He's vexed. That's the fight that we see on the second day of the feast. He did not eat because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. He is grieved. There is a burden over the situation. Both of these responses, he is grieved. He is hurt by the way his father shamefully responds. He's ashamed for his father. He hurts for his friend, David. All of this is at work. And it's anger in righteousness that his father would do and say things that are completely outside of the character of God. Right? What was his father doing? He's throwing a spear at David. He's speaking words against David. He is getting into this argument with Jonathan over David. I mean, this whole thing is, it's intense this moment. We kind of read it and we get used to the story of David fleeing Saul and running through the mountains. But you don't, we can miss in all of that this intense situation. This really heated scenario. And here he is in righteous anger, in fierce anger. Dad, what is going on? He's having to make a stand against his father, the king of Israel, whom God anointed. He's looking in fierce anger. You intended to kill him. He's in fierce anger at the insults that Saul is hurling at his son. As he recognizes his loyalty to David and rises up, man. You son of an adulterous woman. He's degrading him. He's insulting him. Fierce anger. But the grief. The grief, Dad, but at the same time, what's going on? This isn't who God called you to be. The breakdown of their relationship, no doubt that brought grief. Fathers, I want to tell you something. The words you speak to your children are more impactful than you think. The insults you tell your children are more impactful than you think. The way that you speak to them, it matters. You are making deposits into their lives. And so here is Jonathan. He's an adult. He's a warrior. But there's grief. He's grieved over the treatment of his friend and future king. Future king by the will of God. So here's this wrestling. Where do I put my loyalties? He's pained for his father, for his friend. The heart of a warrior the heart of a friend ministry will need you to lead people and rally them in a militant aggression of, we are taking our city, we are taking our land, we will not settle for anything less. Anything less than conversions. I refuse to settle for anything less than converts, conversions, radical transformations. I settle for nothing less than deliverance. Right? It's that fight. That's the faith. That's the dominion part of ministry and being able to cast vision and inspire men in that way. But it will also require you, or I should say require of you, a heart that is tender and aware to the needs of the sheep that God has entrusted to you. People skills. What do they need? Where is this coming from? Why this response? And having that empathy and compassion. That is tensions pulling in all the ministry hats you wear, navigating through that. Being able to cut through in those situations. Let's think secondly about the people business. So, Pastor Wayman Mitchell used to say this quote, many of you probably remember it, is we are in the people business. That is what we do. People are our business. People is who we are involved with every day in all that we are doing. It always comes back to people. It always comes back to relationships. It always comes back to connections. And this is why Pastor Wayman Mitchell, I was driving him in one of the drives to Phoenix, and one of the few times he let me drive. You know, typically if you ever rode with Pastor Wayman, he's like, I'm driving, you know. And it was an adventure. So it always felt good to be behind the wheel. But in riding with him, he said, we were talking and discussing just different things, and he said, Jesse, I don't worry about men learning how to preach. Will they learn how to shepherd? Because again, there's that faith and dominion, and you declare it from that pulpit, and it's in you, and it's evangelism, and it's spearheading breakthroughs in your area, in your city, and it's all of those things that are driving, that are focused on winning this world for Jesus. That is our commission. But what about the health? In being able to shepherd people, lead them where they follow. That's two different functions within the same man. Two different functions within the same couple. The heart of a warrior, the heart of a friend. So, since we are in the people business, isn't it in our best interest to learn people skills? Again, like I said, is more and more and more I have observed and experienced the genius of that statement. These keys to revival, these keys to inspiring people and also just coming alongside them where they're at. It's in our best interest. And Jesus mastered this. Jesus mastered what I'm talking about this morning in his ministry, Luke 2:52.
Meanwhile, Jesus kept on growing wiser and more mature and in favor with God and his fellow men.
Okay, he's growing in wisdom and in his translation, maturity or stature. But that growth isn't just a physical growth. It says he's growing in favor with God and his fellow man and all the people. Why do you think people gravitated to Jesus? Why do you think they were compelled to listen to him, to his sermons? Because it wasn't disconnected from people. He was speaking to masses, but ministering to the individual. That is what we're talking about. Faith, dominion, leadership, ability, but the people skills, both at work. Revelation chapter 5 describes Jesus as a lion and a lamb. If you read that, it says, you know, this imagery and this picture, and behold, came in the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's that fierce intensity, that warriorship, advancement side of ministry, but as a lamb for the slaughter. Humble and meek, and that tension pulling. These are contrasting states, contrasting ideas. He is the embodiment of both of those, the lion and the lamb. Let's read Psalms 85 and verse 10.
Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Okay, so here, a little bit of a different translation, but mercy and truth have met together. And Pastor Greg gave revelation on this, a picture of the cross. Mercy and truth. The cross is God's mercy that we did not get what we deserved. That is mercy. The truth of the cross. That is what our sin deserves. That is how God views it. That is how God sees it. They've met together. I've taken in your place what your deserved punishment upon myself, mercy and truth, righteousness and peace have kissed. The righteousness of God at work, the righteousness of God executed, but the peace of God through that violent action for our salvation, what he endured for us, both are at work. These contrasting ideas, it's like a paradox. How do they even fit together? That's the wisdom of God. And that is the ministry approach of this idea of faith, dominion, people skills. All of it. It's not lean. We don't lean too much on, what would someone call legalism? We don't lean on hyper grace. It's tension. It keeps it balanced. It's both at work. The psalmist writes in Psalms 23 as he's writing of God, the Lord, his shepherd. And he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sometimes you can think those are one and the same, but they're actually two different tools. The rod was used, is a smaller, kind of like a cop's, you know, billy stick, that type of a rod. It's small and it's used to ward off predators. It's used in an aggressive state. So your rod, how does it comfort? It's protective. That's the warrior, the protector, but your staff. The staff that draws the sheep in, that is used for inspecting the health of the sheep. The staff that is used, a focal point that could be followed when the shepherd leads. It's the care and compassion of the shepherd. One defends, one cares for, the heart of a warrior, the heart of a friend. So let's close. Let's think about the blessing of a large heart. This kind of heart that I'm talking about, that is, has these tensions, has this balance, is what makes a man, is what makes a couple. Because men, your wives are very much part of your ministry. And how you lead them, and how you invest into them, will greatly help or hinder your ministry. You have a part in that. You are creating something in the heart of your wife towards ministry. And that can be you are creating something good and balanced, or you are creating someone that is going to resent people, resent ministry, resent the time that it takes, resent. You are the one putting that. So, but when you have this at work, it is a great blessing because now you can navigate the complexities of life. Jonathan's loyalties, they were so pulled. Right? Think about that. When he's rising in fierce anger, but grieved over his father, his loyalties are so pulled. He had a heart for God and God's will, right? Which is why, let us go up, Jonathan, to the garrison of the Philistines. Let's see if God will help us. He has a passion for establishing the kingdom of heaven. It's in there. It resides in him. He has a heart for the will of God about his father and his kingship, but also the will of God and the future king in David, and he's aware of that. But he's also loyal to his father, because his father is king, because his father is in the position that God has placed him. You ever think, right, in this, if you ever unpack this, man, Jonathan is, I want to do a study on his life, because what an incredible man that with his father, after these insults are hurled at him, after he raises a spear at his own son, after all that he is doing against him, where does Jonathan die? On the battlefield next to his father. This is that heart that I'm, this is why you can navigate those complexities. Because it's a warrior, but it's a friend. Because it's militant and aggressive, but it's compassionate and gracious. He has a loyalty for David. We know there are meetings, and God has called you, and I'm behind you. I want you to know that. I'm behind you. There are things going on in the house that are not right, but I'm letting you know I'm with you. That's how he can navigate the complexities. He's able to navigate the people. Never hear of Jonathan bad-mouthing. You never see him tearing down or gathering up other soldiers against his father. You don't read of that. You can navigate the complexities of life, and that's what he did. He maneuvered through it. So this will help you in the complexities of ministry and life. This will help you in the complexities of all the responsibilities that I said, the hats of ministry. It's wide, but you can be adaptable. You can do all of it, and it will make you effective with a wide range of people. I'm telling you that, and that is the genius of all this is, you have a wide heart. See, the problem with many pastors is their heart and their vision become so narrow. They have this cookie cutter idea of what a Christian is. And it's like, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, you're 70 years old, but why aren't you out there with us? Right? Or you're going through a hard time in life, but hey, suck it up. We've got work to do. You narrow your impact. You narrow your ability. Pastor Greg said, my father, talking about Pastor Wayman Mitchell, he said, my father had the ability to pull the best or get the best out of flawed people. Why? Because he was a warrior and he was a shepherd, a friend. And he could see a wide range. Run with your runners. Walk with your walkers. Move with people where I've even said crawl with your crawlers, because there are some. But you'll narrow and miss people's potential. You'll narrow and miss their ability or talent or you know, what they can contribute because they're not whatever, whatever that looks like. It will make you effective to a wide range of people, and you will not wind up only gravitating to people who are like you, or only dealing graciously with those you prefer, or those you're comfortable with, or only those you're confident with. No, you'll have the ability to connect and build bridges with many people. With many people. I've been told that I observe, you can have a conversation with kids and teens and young adults, but then you can conversate and invest into middle-aged people, people that are, you know, into that age range of retirement, or because you have a wide heart for people. That's something that this is what that produces. And so through all of that is people now can be blessed. Think about how blessed David was by Jonathan. Did I give out 2 Samuel 1:26? I'm not sure if I did. Okay, I'll read the little part over here. It says, "How I weep for you, my brother Jonathan. Oh, how much I loved you." This heart of a warrior and this heart of the friend, when he dies, David, these are the words. He cries out, "Oh, how I weep for you, my brother. How I loved you." What a friend. What a blessing. And that's what you can be for people. Pastor Aragon said this statement years ago to me. We were talking, and I'm new in ministry and, you know, just trying to navigate. And he said, "Jesse, no matter what, if you'll serve, if you'll lead, but if you'll serve, they will honor you." He said, "If you'll marry them and bury them, they'll love you forever." But that's the investment. That's that friend. That's that shepherd quality. Pastor is not a title. It's a function. And so dominion is then finally able to be established. Jonathan never lost sight of the purpose. By being a friend, by being this other side of ministry, he never lost sight of the purpose of his people. He never lost sight of establishing the kingdom of God. He fought for Israel. He took the Philistine garrison. He died fighting for the plans and purposes of God. It was against the enemy of the Philistines. He died on that battlefield because it doesn't distract. It's both. And you can be both. You can do both. You can remain a warrior, but you can lead as a friend. Okay, let's open it up for some questions. Phil?
Are people skills something that come over time working with people as I, you know, see things and create a file for that? Or does it require more focus, such as like maybe even writing things down, noticing something in myself, oh, I need to work on that. Let me work on that and like actually take steps to do something.
Sure.
Or is it just more just over time and experience?
It's all of it, Phil. It's like any skill in life. That's why we call it people skills.
Yeah.
It's like any skills in life. It can be developed if you're investing into the development of it. Mm. So whether that be books, whether that be videos that you watch, about people skills, whether that be podcasts you listen to, fill in the blank, those are all informative, but then you need the hands-on, right? There's nothing like any of you that went to school for any kind of trade or occupation, how different it is from the book to real world, right? You do things, you learn it, and then you get in the field and you're like, okay, well, I learned this, but this is, and because that's just how it is. So you can, when you're developing your skills, you have to work with people, yes. And you will identify things, but then it raises questions, right? I remember dealing with people as a disciple in follow-up and having questions. Why this? And what do I do about? And things started coming up, and my pastor was able to help me, guide me, and navigate me in different ways to help me see things I wasn't seeing. Or he had other information. Well, you're getting that response, but you know, you're not realizing what they're dealing with, right? They just had a loss in their family. They just suffered a financial crisis. So the response isn't personal. There's other things. So then you develop a file, right? Which develops your ability to maybe see things from other people's shoes, right? Yeah. John?
Yeah, so would you say that dominion is able to be established with the right, when you have the right tension?
When you have the, well, I mean, and it's not finding this perfect formula, right? Because you can establish things and have, you know, good, you know, outreaches or results, let's say that. But people are afraid of you, or they're intimidated by you, or, right? So it's not like people skills determines your dominion. Actually, what's more connected to your dominion is your faith. Right? And so faith is built on the Word of God. Dominion is establishing those promises you find in the Word of God. No, I'm settling for nothing less than. Right? So you build faith, you contend for dominion, but then people skills just earns you the favor that you need to help people along. Yep.
Okay.
Go ahead, Devin.
Similar question to what Phil had. How do you get better at switching hats, going from, you know, counseling,
yeah,
to being a father to pastoring or preaching? And it's like you mentioned, like, all those different,
yeah,
hats. And I feel like sometimes I'm not great at going from work to being father to,
sure,
preaching or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one of the words Pastor Greg has used is you have to have the ability to compartmentalize. So really, it's a mental discipline that, well, let me say this first, you got to pray that God helps you, right? God, I need you to help me manage this. As I'm preaching it, you're recognizing it, okay? So I need that, and ask God for that. But secondly, it is a mental discipline to take things, right, as whatever that is, put it in a drawer in your mind and close the drawer. You have to have that ability. And that comes with practice, Devin. It absolutely comes with practice. It is a skill. I can remember, early in ministry, and there was a people problem, you know, some type of thing I have to deal with, and it's like consuming, and it's like on your mind, and it's like eating at you, and then you get to the meeting, and your hands are shaking, and, you know, you've got your game face on, but, you know, inside it's just like all this, you know, angst, and you get out of the meeting, you've dealt with the situation, but it's still on you. It's not healthy. You've got to learn how to compartmentalize. Which is why Pastor Greg says most serial killers are men, is because they have the ability to compartmentalize. So that's it in the negative, but in the positive is we have to have that ability. I have gone out of that office having had to deal with intense things and go up there and still, God, you deserve worship and praise, and I'm going to preach not out of anything but what you have given me. That's an ability. To compartmentalize, you know. Can remember learning this early on, Pastor Greg teaching us, you might be in an argument with your wife and you've got to preach that altar call that night. Yeah, but that's a lesson. It's a life lesson. It's a ministry lesson. Can I put it away? You know, we're going to finish this discussion right now, right? I've dealt with my kids on the way in and I'm teaching them this, right? And we're dealing with things or I have to talk to them outside. Okay, we get to church. Okay, we need to put on our good attitudes now. Because this conversation has nothing to do with the congregation inside. So we'll finish this if we have to, or we're moving along, right? But you are instilling that. You've got to be that. So it's got to start with you, yeah. But prayer and then the mental discipline. And if you're noting, I can't put this away, pray, right? In all things, prayer and supplication. What does that mean? Frequent prayer, right? So you might have to continue praying over it or praying about it. That's okay. but you're giving it to God and you're putting it away. Yep. Ralph.
So, Pastor, if we use the golden rule out of Matthew, would that help us?
Absolutely. Definitely it will help you, because in that, Ralph, is how would you want to be treated? That's really what it's about. How would you want to be treated if you made a mistake? Right? That's the thing. I get pastors and it's like, you know, this guy made a mistake. How dare him? It's like, and so did you. Newsflash, right? Is they forget. And even while they've been pastoring, it's like, okay, time out. Like, last week, you made bad mistakes, and now you're upset at this guy. You weren't treated by your pastors that way. Why are you treating them this way? So how would you want to be treated? And whatever that looks like. Yep. Pastor Hart.
Would you say also that this being able to deal with these issues is also a supernatural thing, because we have the Comforter and the Helper?
Yes.
And so the Holy Ghost enables us. There's times that you may be dealing with a lot of different things, but doesn't the Holy Spirit help us? He brings that comfort and that help in that moment so that we can deal with those kind of issues. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. And it goes back to Devin's question, and that's why you've got to pray for it. And if you're finding yourself still dealing with it, pray. Give it to God. Reach, call out for prayer. Man, I am having a hard time putting this away. And you know what? It is a leadership ability to be able to do that. I personally know of situations and people that absolutely badmouth Pastor Greg, completely, I'm just in rebellion, that are his spiritual sons today. And that is a heart I want. That's what I want to be. To where you're not so caught up in past situations and words, but you can see the redemption of God. And that is something I've recognized in our pastors many years ago, but seeing it now even firsthand. When Pastor Greg says my default is redemption, it is. Always. Because it's that heart for people. And so, but that comes from God. That's birthed from God in the heart of a man to be able to have that flexibility, to be able to have that range with people and complexities of life. And the Holy Ghost brings comfort and help. Both of those. Comfort so you can process. But help, what do I do? How do I deal with this? When do I deal with this? All of that's the wisdom. Yep. Yep, Matt.
What you were talking about a little bit ago about being able to like switch gears or like compartmentalize, like if you're like a fight with your wife or something, and then you get to church and you're like, oh, like table this. It's been my experience where it's tough to, like I'm a wear my feelings on my face type of guy, and so it's like totally foreign to me to be able to shift that way. Like I've had to have talks with you or with Pastor Greg, and I come out of the office and I'm like, I feel like I shouldn't even be, like I want to crawl in the hole and die, right? But then I have to like put on a smile and talk, and that almost seems fake.
Sure.
Like not, nothing that, like it was warranted and it needed to happen, but I don't know how.
Sure.
Not, I guess it's almost like it comes off as like childish and almost like you're throwing a fit, but really you just feel like
sure.
You're gunning yourself. You're like, man, now I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so how do you, I feel like I've gotten better at that over
sure.
time. Because I feel like it used to come off as I'm mad at Pastor or I'm, you know, but really it's just, you know, what they spoke into my life, I needed that, but now I feel like crap. So,
sure. Yeah, but it's processing it, right? It is processing it.
Yeah.
And again, like Devin's question is, you do get better at it because it's necessary, right? There's things Pastor Greg has said about ministry. It just has to be done, though. So I can take the approach where I don't, develop the skill to gather myself and put on my game face, I can stay, you know, childish or, you know, whatever, immature or hurt, or we could fill it with a million adjectives, but at the end of the day, how does that impact other people, right? That doesn't help your kids, that doesn't help your wife, that doesn't help the people you're serving with, right? What a horrible thing to be like, oh, pastor's in a really bad mood today. Don't talk to him, right? Don't ask any questions. Don't ask any budget questions, you know? It's like, it's just one of those things, like, that is, I never feel that way with my pastor. I've never felt that way with my pastors. And I hear people say, it's like, man, that's foreign to me. So, but isn't it, look at the fruitfulness of that. Look what it produces, right? People that don't navigate such things keep their life very small, their ministry very small, their pastoral ministry very small, because it's got to be done. But at the end of the day, you know, when you make those decisions, as a man thinks, so is he. So you might not feel all the emotions at first, but when you make the disciplined choice, I'm packing this away and I'm doing what I need to do, your heart will follow. Your heart will follow. I can't tell you how many times I've come out of difficult conversations or difficult circumstances or difficult words. You know, they told me, you know what, you're ugly, you're a bad pastor, and I hate you. It's like, all right, praise Jesus, let's go preach. You know, but how quickly it can just really be kind of carried off. Doesn't bother me, doesn't impact. That's healthy. You need that. Yep, good. Yeah, Brian.
So with people skills, what are some ways, or like, how do we get away from, or how do we become like more authentic with people, or like genuine, like, yeah. I care about you, good. I want to know what you want, because I feel like me and most people are general, like someone walks up and like, oh, hey, how's it going? And you're like, oh, good, like immediately.
Sure.
Just the default is a generic answer, yeah. Whether you're good or not.
Sure.
And how do you get away from like that and like actually genuinely, like, I want to know, how are you, like, what's going on, like,
yeah,
being genuine with
people. Yeah, being genuine with people, you know, on the one side, from being able to genuinely care about people, you got to ask God for it. You know, Solomon asked for you know, wisdom to lead your people, and God says, I'm giving you wisdom, and he expanded his heart. Right, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. I mean, it's a wide heart for people. So God can give you that. God, give me a wide heart for people. Give me a love for people. Give me a compassion for people. Right? When Jesus looked at the multitudes, he had compassion on them. Some people look at a multitude of people and they think, ah, the mess. Or they look at a mass of people and they go, ah, the frustration. Ah, the, you know, and all these negative things. But when Jesus looked out, he had compassion. I want that. Give me that. God, I need that. So that's the first thing. The second thing, maybe on the other hand, and it sounded like this was kind of what you were asking, but if someone is asking you how you're doing, asking God to give you the humility to be able to ask for help when you need it, right? And that is one of a key thing. Sometimes people think, you know, in all of that we're talking about, oh, you got to, you know, they lean too much on the warrior side. Suck it up. Put on your game face. Da-da. But you know what? It's okay to say, you know, I am having a hard time. I just need some prayer. You have to have the humility to say that. And that's absolutely okay. If you think nobody ever deals with any kind of insecurity or, you know, just the wrestlings of life, that's a fantasy, you know? So it's okay. You know what? Pray for me. And I've asked my pastor to pray for me. I've asked our staff pastor, would you just pray for me? I've asked friends, you know, can I lean on your prayers? Right? I remember going through a very difficult season with my son, and I just remember calling a friend and saying, I know you pray. Would you just help me pray? And he prayed over, and man, I needed that. But having the humility to do that, yeah, it's got to be at work in you. Yeah, Ayo.
Pastor, like we mentioned, compartmentalize. So when you compartmentalize, then there's a, I mean, it has to dissipate somehow, right? Like, so what do you, how do you deal with it? Is that the prayer thing you're saying?
Definitely is prayer, Ael. I mean, Pastor, if anybody remembers and it comes up, Pastor Ruby preached a sermon. I don't remember if it was called Toxic Waste. It was at a conference. Phenomenal sermon on getting the junk off of you. And he talked, it was all about prayer. It was all about prayer. So absolutely, Ael, that is key. And maybe you're thinking kind of in the terms of like avoiding burnout and, you know, outlets, etc. You know, some people it's this or that or, you know. But really, it comes back to prayer, keeping a good marriage, right? I'm looking forward. I'm going to be heading to Romania on Tuesday. My wife, I'm bringing her with me. I'm super excited. I'm like, dude, I'm counting down the days, you know. But I get to go and minister, awesome, and I get to spend time with my wife. It's going to be a great time, right? I'm not worried about other things. So, but those are ways that that dissipates. Yep.
And just follow up with that. It's like you mentioned, it's like what you put in your kids or your marriage can be positive or negative in ministry. So, I mean, what is the balance? Because usually women like to find, you know, you're talking, you don't want to be too closed out. So how do you separate?
What it comes down to, Ael, is you want to be careful about the things you discuss to your wife regarding people problems, ministry problems, those types of things. Because you might, you know, let's say you're dealing with a situation, man, this guy, and he said, da-da-da, and your wife is hearing it. She's like, oh, no, absolutely not, right, is it? She's getting upset. But then the guy repents and gets good, and you are like, hey, praise God, he's good. She's like, she can't let that go. That's destructive for her. That's difficult. So if you spew all the problems, right, there's things my wife hears. There's things that are just unavoidable. But overall, I try to protect her. I don't give her the details. She doesn't need them. And nor does she want to know them. That's not how my wife is. She's not interested. She's like, you know, there have been times where it's like, we got to go. And I'm like, I'm on the phone. And I'll get in the car. She's like, no, just stay in that office. I don't want to know, because that is how she it doesn't help. It's not helpful. So there's that. The second thing, though, is you also, on the flip side, need to be making investments with your family, recognizing what they need, so that Pastor Greg said it this way the other day. It's the first time I've heard him say, I don't want my wife to get the message that ministry is my mistress.
Yeah.
Right? Is that this is this whole other thing, and you don't really have a part in it. No, it makes the deposits, makes the investments, and that protects her heart. Let's get one more. I think, Edgar, you had a hand here.
Yeah, you mentioned how you conduct yourself creates an attitude towards ministry in the hearts of your wife and in your family. Can you give an example of something that, like, just like what you just said, but another example of something that you don't want to do that will create a negative association towards ministry in your family?
Something that you don't want to do. Yeah, I think the biggest thing, Edgar, at the end of the day, is if you will send the message that you are, that your wife is priority. This should be the priority of life. God first, okay, always. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. If you're married, then your wife second, then your kids third. And then fourth is my ministry, because I am a husband and a father before I am a pastor. And there are things I have given my kids the message that they, even if I'm in the middle of typing a sermon, they have access to me. They can come in and interrupt me anytime. And they know that, you know, my wife can come in and interrupt me at any time because I've given them that message. And then I look for ways to make deposits into their life. Make investments into their life and be aware of what they need. You know, times it's like, you know what, I think, you know, I need to, and I make an investment in my daughter or my son. I'm recognizing there's a need there. I'm going to make a deposit, right? And so anyway, if you'll send that message, that's the best thing you can do. The rest will fall into place. Yeah. Very good. Good questions, guys. And looking forward to a good Sunday morning. Do appreciate you guys, and that's all we have.